a frustrating finish to the football season and a scorching start to the basketball season. That's where we are with UNLV's two biggest athletic programs as we almost get into December here. The Rebel Room is back. I'm Case Kiefer with the experts Mike Romala and Ray Brewer to talk everything with both those Rebel teams. So where are we thinking? Optimism or pessimism today? Where do we want to start?
Let's start with basketball. They're good.
Optimistic
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, they're good. They may be great. They're good, though.
Yeah, I don't disagree. They're undefeated. They passed their most significant test of the season the day before Thanksgiving with a pretty solid victory against a above-average Utah team. And I think what stood out from that game, Mike, is the way in which they won, right? Your two guys go to the, you know, juice box, and McCoy go to the bench with foul trouble. Dembele and Diong, if I said that correct, are plugged into the post, and the Rebels somehow find a way to not only hold the dam from breaking but to extend the lead. And I think what was even more impressive is Diong has a hard time catching the ball, literally. So the fact that they were able to do that speaks volumes about, A, how good Jordan Johnson is, but, B, how UNLV has got a little versatility to it.
Yeah, that was a nice piece of coaching by Marvin Menzies to get them into halftime over the final 7 minutes against Utah, extending their lead. And then once McCoy and Justin came back in the second half, they just rolled. Like, Utah could not match up with those two guys. And Utah's respectable in the front court. They got two big guys, David Collette and Tyler Rawson, who are respectable college big men, and they just had no chance against McCoy and Justin. So if you're UNLV, your strength is your 4 and 5 positions, McCoy and Justin, and they are really good together to the point where they could make a Utah team like that just seem like a cupcake up front. And that bodes well for the rest of the schedule when you look at which teams have the sort of players that can match up with them physically. There's not that many. So, I mean, if this is the way that UNLV can play, they're looking pretty good against most of the opposition this year.
Yeah, Case, you and Gramal and I, we had a little semi-debate / argument at the beginning of the year where I had initially said that I think UNLV is going to win enough games to where it would be playing in the last four.
Here we go.
Can I finish my thought?
Okay, here we go. The first four, by the way.
First floor, that's what I meant. Yeah, first four. Now they're whatever no. They're on track to that prediction. Do you think that their RPI / KenPom / whatever, being 26-7 or whatever they may end up being, is going to be enough to warrant that considering they just beat Utah? Do you think they could play themselves in a position where they don't need to win the league to get in?
Okay, here's the thing I said from the beginning when we said about this. I said they were going to be 6-0 probably. Did I not? I said you can have that. They're probably going to win their first six games. But I still don't think they're in line for that large bid. And if you think they're that good, I think perfect. It's fine. Especially now you've been proven right they're that good. Why not just pick them to win the conference tournament? Well, there is still a much surer route to get into the NCAA tournament than expecting them to get an at-large bid, in my opinion.
No, you're 100% right. Winning three games in 3 days on a neutral site / your home court is a lot easier than hoping the math falls your way to get the at-large. But UNLV hasn't won that tournament in probably 10 years now since Kruger's boys beat BYU. And typically, they don't draw well, even though it's their home court.
But, I mean, if you're a good enough team, which they've looked like so far, I think they're going to have a chance to win. Just to give a little bit of background, this argument erupted in the newsroom last week because I told Brewer he could not write his column that they were going to make it at large. Okay, 2 weeks, whatever. And so, without telling Mike the side, someone texted Mike and asked him, can UNLV get an at-large bid? And Mike said no. So now I'm excited to see what you say now.
Strictly based on strength of schedule, and they've gotten some breaks. Like Northern Iowa has been a little bit better than I think expected. They're a top 100 KenPom team. Illinois has been a little bit better than expected. They're a top 100-ish KenPom team. So that's helping them. Utah is like top 50 when UNLV beat them. Arizona is a big blow. Arizona was supposed to be that one chance for a distinct, like, feather in the cap. Like, that's a top five team coming in there. If you can beat them, that's, like, the jewel of your at-large resume. And now Arizona's completely fallen out of the top 25. It's a, the program's in a free fall. It's a disaster. Now that game is looking like that's a lose-lose for UNLV. If you beat them, it's just it's only because Arizona is decimated. And if you lose to them, then it's like, how could you lose to that team? So that hurts them in the strength of the schedule for the at-large. I just don't know if the resume is going to be good enough non-conference, because we've seen – you don't even have to look back very far. You can look back to, you know, very recently, you know, San Diego State going 16-2 in the conference, or in not getting an at-large, or the team that finishes second in the Mountain West in the regular season does not get an at-large bid. It's just that's not the way it is anymore. There's not enough good teams in the league to support that.
And my argument was, I even think last year just speaks volumes. I mean, Reno last year was great. I think Brewer's best-case scenario this year, what you just said, was seven losses. Reno had seven losses last year and were a 12 seed, which indicates if they wouldn't have won the tournament, they would not have been in. So I just, as good as UNLV's been, I still have a tough time buying the whole at-large possibility.
And mind you, Reno's undefeated right now as well.
The thing that may work in their favor, the AP poll that came out today, UNR is 27th in terms of also receiving votes, and UNLV is 41st. The UNLV received votes for the first time in a few years. If UNLV can at some point in the season crack the top 25, maybe, if you finish and then maybe finish the season, hang on, if you can stay in the top 25 or at least right up in that range, it's hard to leave out a top 25 team. And if you can get up there, if your top 25 ranking, your media ranking is that much higher than like your KenPom or your RPI, then it's hard for them to leave you out.
Here's the deal. Reno, Vegas, Boise, I think, are three teams who are better than we expected, right? Maybe not Reno. We expected them to be – Reno hasn't played or beaten anybody for whatever that's worth, but that's their scheduling dilemma every year. But back to my initial point, there's three teams in the Mountain West who could present themselves for good road wins, right? You go up to Reno and win, that's a good dub, right?
I mean, it's good for the Mountain West. I don't know if it's good compared to other conferences and other at-large teams they'll be competing against. Because if you look at the splits recently, it's just the NCAA they're going away from small conferences. Like, at-large bids go to big conferences.
Could I say something where Case is going to yell at me? You need to
I was already about to correct you that Rhode Island KenPom's ranked higher than anyone UNLV's played.
And didn't
Reno
didn't Nevada play Davidson?
Yeah, they beat Davidson.
And that's a pretty good team.
First of all, it's Reno.
Reno. What did I call them?
Nevada.
All right, let's hear what I'm going to yell at you about.
Okay. And
Mike's too nice to you. Don't you remember the days when you'd say this and it'd be like both of you are going to yell at me?
Yeah, well, Mike is
now, at least now it's only one.
He respects me. I'm the elder statesman here. So we're talking just the possibility. It's been a while since UNLV's been squarely on the bubble, right? Going into Selection Sunday, we've either A, known if they're going to be in, or B, known if they've been out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so do you think that the UNLV brand might lend itself to the Rebels getting in the tournament?
Here's the one thing I cannot stand about this is all the UNLV fans, whenever UNLV gets a bad seed, is like, oh, the NCAA hates us again. They treat us, or not, the selection committee's still holding us back from TARC. Now all of a sudden they have the brand, so that's going to benefit them. You got to pick one or the other.
Well,
you can't have it both ways.
Here's what I'll say. I think that kind of ties into what I just said about the AP ranking. Like, UNLV, they're maybe, you know, they're number 98 in KenPom. They may be like number 97 in RPI, but the media sees them as like number 41. The UNLV does carry UNLV with the same resume as
Pinstripes, Kiefer.
If this was Wyoming had played the same schedule as UNLV and was 6-0, they would not be number 41 in the AP rankings. So that it does carry some weight. It's a bigger deal when UNLV is, you know, the running Rebels are 6-0 and are they back? And you do get a little bit more buzz just because you're UNLV. So I will say that could play some role in terms of like the media and at least drumming up enough of a national narrative where it may be hard. If UNLV can win enough games, it may be hard for the selection committee to leave them out.
Case, I also think that's a little more minimized than we think, though. So it's like UNLV, okay, I agree they have the name. But that's also, they're good. No, listen, I think it's less the name. Agreed. They had a huge recruiting class. If Brandon McCoy went to Wyoming, and like people that follow college basketball know that name, know he's a five-star recruit, and Wyoming started like this, I'm not so convinced Wyoming wouldn't get the votes. I mean, I think it has as much to do with
as long as you
the guys
with
they're bringing in.
On the record, right? Brewer, I agree with you. Brewer, you were right.
Look, I think you're absolutely right about how good this team is. I think they've been better than I expected. I think better than a lot of people expected. I still, if you're saying right now, can they get an at-large, but I still say they need to win the conference tournament 97 times out of 100 or something like that.
Okay. I that's a great point you brought up about McCoy. He's a polarizing player who's only going to be in the NCAA 1 year. The tournament selection committee would like to showcase him to make money by getting UNLV on a true TV game as a 12 seed.
I mean, that's probably the best they could hope for as an at-large team. I mean, I don't think they're going to be an at-large team and get like a that could be like a 4 seed or a 7 seed. It's just not going to happen. If they do get in, they're going to squeak
but
in.
Like this team reminds. Do you remember CDR's first year? Was that the year they lost to Cal, or was that the second?
That was the second year.
Okay, the second year they lost to Cal. They hadn't beat anybody, right? Oh, yeah, because the first year they beat Carolina. The second year, they were just Anthony Bennett and name on the front of the jersey. Not that good, not, you know, didn't beat anybody. 27-8, lost in the finals or the semifinals of the league tournament, got a 7 seed.
I think the conference was just way better back
then. Yeah, their best wins that year were in conference because Colorado State was a top 20 team. New Mexico, wasn't New Mexico a 2 seed or a 3 seed that year?
Oh, yeah, I think they were 3. I think they got upset.
They got beat by Harvard.
Right, right.
But so like there were like 5 Mountain West teams that made it. So you're just playing in the Mountain West. You have a chance to beat 4 other tournament teams. So that helped them. Like their best wins are in conference because the conference was good. That the conference isn't like that anymore. Those good wins are gone. Like your only good wins now that are going to help you resume wise are probably at Reno and maybe at San Diego State if San Diego State turns it around.
But I don't think, I mean, I hate to say this, but dude, the Reno people, and maybe this segues into football, but dude, that game for them is like everything. They want to beating Vegas in football, no big deal. Reno had 7 years of beating, but basketball's what. You know, we love what we hang our hat on, what UNLV's built on, right? There's a statue of Tark. There's a street named after him. They won a natty, right? Reno celebrates NIT wins. Beating UNLV is like the whole year for those people. I mean, they give out toothpaste at the doors. They're so excited.
You definitely got the vibe last year at that game at Reno, which I covered. It was Reno, they knew they were going to win the game by a lot. The team was just much better. And they definitely went out of their way to make a spectacle of it. They did like a big protracted introduction and they brought in Michael Buffer to do like the intros. Yeah. And they opened the student section early and they were having all these events and it was just a very big deal. And then they run up the score. Like it was definitely like a party. They treated it like they knew they were going to win, so they treated it like a celebration. They do take it very seriously. They take it more seriously than UNLV does. If UNLV can win that game this year at Reno, that will probably be their best win of the season, considering what's happened to Arizona. Your chance for your best win now is at Reno.
Okay, let me ask you this real fast. Sorry to cut you off, Case. Go ahead. I'll wait.
No?
My comment,
I don't have a question, so if you have a question, you better...
My comment will be germane after the conversation.
I was going to kind of pivot it in a different direction, so probably won't be.
Let me ask you this. How was the crowd against SUU?
9,500 announced attendance, but it was a loud 9,500. I thought that was a good crowd.
Okay. They got to do better. Folks need to start showing up and supporting this team, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I was kind of – the one game I've been to, Eastern Washington, there was no one there. I don't remember the announced, but
– it was a Friday night. And they.
Yeah, I thought the attendance would be a little bit better this year, so I was kind of taken aback. But I think now there's a heightened level of excitement, starting the season like this. I think that it's probably getting back on the right track.
Okay.
To go back to the Reno game that we've talked about, February 7th, that's when you need to mark your calendars when they go to Reno. Just before we move on to football, though.
The day before the Super Bowl?
February 7th. I think it's 2 days after the Super Bowl. It's Wednesday the 7th.
Oh, Wednesday the 7th.
A couple days after the Super Bowl. I think we have to touch on this week. We knew coming into the season this was going to be the huge non-conference week at Northern Iowa, then Arizona at home. I think it's interesting what Mike kind of alluded to earlier is now it's swung, and it might even seem like the trip to Northern Iowa is a bigger game than home for Arizona.
You may get more of a depending on where Arizona ends up the season, you know, in these computer rankings and the power rankings, you may get more of a boost if you win a true road game at Northern Iowa than you would by beating, you know, a mediocre Arizona team at home. So the Northern Iowa game is now probably the bigger of those two games in terms of, you know, there's different schools of thought when you're trying to you're talking about building like an at-large resume, or it's some people put a lot of stock in, you know, there aren't any bad losses can be bad, but they want to see who can you beat, like what's your best win, as opposed to what's your worst loss. And Northern Iowa would probably be your best win, your chance for your best win until you get into conference play.
Okay,
would you be happy with a 1-1 this week, Brewer? Are you so excited now you want two wins?
I mean, going on the road to Northern Iowa, that's going to be a tough cross to bear. First true road game of the year. First true road game of the year, obviously. I just don't – what do you think they're going to be about, a six-point dog?
I think maybe a little bit shorter just with the way they've started. I think we would have said six or seven a week ago, but I don't know. KenPom has it three.
What maybe. Time is that Arizona game at?
I do not have it in front of me.
Either way.
Yeah.
Let's talk about football. What'd you think, Grimala, about the Cannon game?
I thought it was poorly played by both teams. I didn't see. I mean,
rip the Reno coach, but I felt like the guy was playing. He nice guy, Norville, great dude. Great human.
Really?
Dude. Oh,
it's the nicest thing I've ever heard you say about
right
anyone
now,
who has to do anything to do with Reno.
What a great human being! Everything I love about the guy. He's sincere and genuine.
Everything that you just said about him as a person, I would say the opposite about him as a coach after watching
dude,
that game.
Oh my God. I felt like the guy was playing Sega. It's like, you got your tail back. He's beating the hell out of UNLV. Big, big kid. Pound on the rock. UNLV's just like, oh my God, please don't hand it off to him. Throw on the guy's back. It's like second and goal from the three. They're driving in to win the game. And he calls a screen pass to the offensive lineman.
Yeah, they had the throwback to the offensive lineman. They had the fourth down wildcat fake pass. Just a lot of questionable stuff.
High school quarterback, for whatever that's worth.
This is all I've heard people talking about out of this game, is some of these hilarious things, and how bad the coach was, and yet UNLV lost.
That's the thing. It was just very poorly executed on both sides. Like neither of those defenses are any good. And it was still a low scoring, like 23-16, like final. Neither team could do anything against the other's bad defense. So, I mean, you can chalk it up to the end of a long season. Maybe both teams are beat up, and there's a lot at stake. So maybe nerves came into play, and it's a big game for the teams involved. But for whatever reason, it was definitely not UNLV putting its best foot forward when they needed a good performance.
Yeah, where do we kind of I know they won one more game this year, correct? Where do we kind of put the state of the program at the end of this year? Because I'm sure if you're Tony Sanchez, you're saying, hey, we won one more game, we took another step forward, we've got a quarterback that clearly we can build something around in the future. But at the same time, I mean, I feel like that would be ignoring some of the ways they lost games this year. I mean, starting with Reno, who was terrible, that you lost to a second time in 2 years. The game that UNLV fans really the only one anyone cares about, you now haven't won in 2 years. I mean, no one's ever going to forget this season because of how it started against Howard. Was it a step forward this season? Was it staying the same? What do we think?
I don't want to ride on the fence, but this season by itself, you can't really call it a success just because of the goals that the team themselves, you know, the goal was, you know, bowl game. 6-6, make it to a bowl game. The goal wasn't 5-7 and improve by one win. Like, no one sets that as a goal. So if you don't meet that goal, it's hard to call the season a success. But in the bigger picture, I mean, considering big, like, overhead view, like the program was so bad for so long that you've got a team that was at least playing competitive games all throughout November, had a chance to qualify. It didn't seem like a fluke. When they last made a bowl game in 2013, this actually seems like they've got something going here. Too many disappointing losses to call it a successful season, but I do still think that they are kind of moving in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree. It's just we sat here in August and we talked about the year and 5-6, a little higher for some people who were, you know, overly optimistic and graduated from the university. But if you would have said at the beginning of the year the Rebels were going to win 5 games, you think, okay, well, that's pretty solid. And then when you say, okay, well, they lost to Howard, you're like, oh, and they still won 5? Okay, because Howard, we were like, okay, sure thing. And then they lost to Air Force. So it's just, you know, are you satisfied with 5? That's probably, you know, you end up settling for 5. The word is you settled because you gave up a 27-point lead to Air Force. You lost to a crappy Reno team.
Lost to the worst BYU team that you may see
in a decades,
while.
Yeah, and you lost to...
They blew a gigantic lead at Air Force, which was probably, after Howard, is probably what I would point to as the other swing game that sort of torpedoed your season.
And, I mean, a lot of it, you could see, what I keep telling people is you could see the infrastructure is there. It's a better place than it was 3 years ago. Okay, on paper, yeah, you've won 3 more. You've won a game more in each of the last 3 seasons. But also, a lot of the you know, you build a house, Case. And I know you and I aren't into this, but, Grimala, you know this. You build a house, right? You got to get your plumbing and your pipes and your framing and all that. And I think the framing and the pipes in the UNLV football house is significantly stronger now than it was 3 years ago. And a lot of the infrastructure is in place. And it's resulted in seasons where they've won 1 more game. With that said, defensively, they're a disaster. Whether it's coaching or the lack of having quality players, when your best player is Dalton Baker, who was a walk-on that got a scholarship and is only playing because a guy that you converted from quarterback decided to transfer from a JC instead of playing defense, you got to upgrade talent there immediately. And you saw where, okay, one of their best defenders turned out to be the Pharrell Hester kid from Gorman, which was a good get. He ends up getting hurt. Now all of a sudden, Johnny Stanton's playing linebacker.
And he's still just a freshman, too.
No, Johnny. Oh, Hester. Yeah. Hester. So defensively, they got to get better pieces in place, and Sanchez is going to have to decide if, you know, moving forward, if the guys organizing the defense are the guys organizing the defense.
The recruiting on the defensive side of the ball has been disappointing. Like that, they just haven't brought in a lot of playmakers on that side of the ball. They've got a few guys going forward. Jericho Flowers had a great year, I thought, at corner.
I totally agree.
He could be an all-conference type corner.
Totally agree.
Next year. So he's probably the biggest piece that you have. Nick Dadashian looked okay on the defensive line. It got better as the year went on. But there's just – it's the bare bones of a good defense. It's like you need, like, you know, 30 good players to have a good defense. They've got, you know, 3 or 4. There's just a long way to go. It's got to be recruiting. And then, you know, the coaching and game planning, they also – there's some blame to lay there. It goes on the coaches and the players. Just the defense was not – I mean, they only gave up 23 to in Reno in the finale. But, I mean, I put a lot of that on the Reno offense more than I would give credit to the UNLV defense. It's something that I just don't know if there's a quick turnaround, just because you have to recruit so many more bodies before you can expect a good defense.
The thing is they gave up a touchdown on 3 plays, too. So after that, they don't give up anything for, like, more than 2 quarters, Grimala.
When you see that, you know, a touchdown right off the bat on 3 plays, like, is that coaching? Is that the coach, like, not being ready for that quick strike? Something like
– I mean, it could just be Reno hit a nice big pass that they weren't ready for. And I mean, Reno came out with a good script and scored on 3 plays. You know, everybody scripts out their initial 3 plays.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. I mean, I think you go back to the beginning of the year, what we were talking about was, I think the over-under was 5.
Cash that ticket today, got my money back.
Okay, yeah. I think what we said was the offense is going to be good enough. It's all going to come down to can the defense even be serviceable. And here we are trying to make excuses for Nevada, for the Reno loss. The defense was not good enough. That's what the season came down to. It was just horrendous. I agree with Brewer that it looks like in the vast majority of areas they've taken a step forward. Defensively, it's just probably even gotten worse, and I think that's going to be the huge thing. The thing working in their favor, which we say all along, is the Mountain West just looks destitute right now. I mean, a lot of these teams look like they're in terrible positions, and it seems like UNLV is still inching forward.
Look at the schedule, even they avoid next year Wyoming and CSU, who are going to have two, and Boise, I think, again.
Yeah, so I do think there are some. I just agree with what all you guys said. I don't have much else to add. I think this season goes down as a slight disappointment just because some of the ways they lost, but I still think they're pretty well positioned going forward. But God, you just have to make some improvements defensively next year. You cannot have another year like this.
Yeah, and for me, you look at the graduate transfers. You saw they brought in the Sism.
Chauncey Sism.
Sism this year. He was an impact player. A kid from Syracuse was great. I think they're going to have to try to get some JC kids that are like Pac-12 retreads. Anybody who could fill a spot over there that could, you know, do anything to stop the run, the pass, put pressure on the quarterback. Another area you want to look in, special teams, and the kicking game was great with Pantels and Gutierrez came in, but they haven't had a returner that could, like, take it to the house or threaten to take it to the house or get them in good field position. Every little inch or nudge is going to be vital moving forward.
Well, there you go. We started with optimism, and I guess we'll end with optimism because despite the disappointing season, we think UNLV is set up pretty well in the future in football. Make sure you check out this week basketball, Northern Iowa and Arizona. A big stretch to see if Ray Brewer's bold call for an at-large bid in the NCAA tournament has a shot. For Ray and Mike, I'm Case. Thanks for listening to the Rebel Room.